So let's talk about why fasting is a great idea and how to do it well. It's long been thought that eating little and often is best to keep blood sugar levels stable and to support a stronger running metabolism to fuel weight loss. But whilst there may be a place for eating little and often for some women, for the most part, it's really not the best idea. And this is really because of a term known as leaky gut. It's also referred to as intestinal permeability in research papers, and it basically refers to the lining of the gut having become damaged over time and leaky, resulting in a weaker lining where large gaps have developed, allowing compounds to get through into the bloodstream that normally shouldn't. For example, undigested food particles or toxins and other types of bacteria that shouldn't be seeping into the body. This so-called leakiness creates an inflammatory response in the body because the bloodstream is the immune system is sensing these foreign particles and toxins in the bloodstream that shouldn't be there, and it's eliciting an inflammatory response. And over time, left unaddressed, this can result in symptoms that nobody wants, known as chronic inflammation. It's natural for our gut lining to open its otherwise very tight junctions or gaps to allow nutrients from a meal to pass through into the body and reach our cells. But once that's happened, we want the gaps to close again and remain tight until we next eat another meal. The trouble is that many people are eating too often and for too long of a period of time each day. And that intricate process is happening way too often. The process of opening those tight junctions to allow for absorption and digestion and closing them, it's just happening far too often. And the chance for those tight junctions to actually close is becoming less and less. And over time, the gut lining can become chronically leaky. Plus, the standard Western diet and lifestyle is full of factors that impact the integrity of your gut lining, causing it to weaken and become more and more leaky. So that basically means widening the gaps and keeping them open. These factors in the Western diet and lifestyle include refined wheat, processed foods, sugar, caffeine, alcohol, eating too often, eating too quickly, not chewing properly, and stress. So what do you need to know? So your gut lining or your gut wall serves as a protective barrier of the intestines, guarding anything other than nutrients absorbed from the breakdown of your food in the gut from getting into the bloodstream. The only thing we want to seep into the bloodstream from eating your food is those nutrients that have been broken down. We want them to absorb into the bloodstream and then reach our cells where they can be used. This is a hugely important aspect of day-to-day health and well-being, as well as guarding against diseases later in life. It plays a particularly significant role in autoimmune diseases such as rheumatoid arthritis and Hashimoto's thyroiditis. A leaky gut means that unwanted substances and particles are now passing into the bloodstream that shouldn't. And this results in the immune system responding to those foreign invaders by releasing inflammatory cytokines. So these are basically chemical messengers from your immune system throughout your body. And this results in a lower grade inflammatory response, but it becomes chronic. So you have this chronic lower grade inflammatory response known in the functional medicine world as chronic low grade inflammation. Symptoms of this chronic low grade inflammation include low energy and fatigue, digestive issues, so IBS, bloating, gas, flatulence, rarely waking up feeling refreshed, stubborn belly fat and trouble losing it, hormonal imbalances of any kind and hormonal conditions, headaches, migraines, muscle aches and pains, slow to recover after exercise, low-grade nausea and worsened autoimmunity, or even the trigger, as I said, for things like rheumatoid arthritis or Hashimoto's. So let's have a look at why eating little and often is unhelpful. So eating a meal naturally triggers a leaky gut for about 4 hours after eating. So this naturally triggers the lining of the gut to open its holes and allow for the absorbed nutrients to go, the broken down nutrients to be absorbed through that, through those holes into the bloodstream and act on various body cells and systems that need them. Once this has happened, the holes in the gut lining will close again, forming nice tight junctions back again that keep everything in the gut that should stay there. Your gut lining uses the times when we are not eating, so in between meals and snacks, to repair itself, which helps to keep the lining strong and tight at all other times other than when it's allowing nutrients to pass into the body. Without this time of respite, so basically when we're not eating, the lining misses out on all that important repair and regeneration time, which over time results in a chronically leaky gut lining. And therefore, that chronic inflammatory response, chronic inflammation, and the issues and symptoms that come with it that I've just mentioned. Fasting basically means we are when we're not eating. So it can be quite a scary word for some people. You think fasting means I can't eat for 24 hours, but it basically means any period of time where you're not eating. And the best way to integrate fasting into our day-to-day life is by eating 3 nutritiously balanced meals per day with no snacks and have all of those 3 meals done in a maximum 12-hour eating window. That's what it would be known as. The amount of time that you're going to spend eating during the day can be classed as an eating window. Versus a fasting window. So if you have all your 3 meals eaten within those 12 hours, that's your eating window, and your fasting window would then be the remaining 12 hours, which most of those will be overnight while you're asleep. So you can work towards extending your eating window to anywhere up to 16 hours over time. So this is what's known as the 16-8 or time restricted feeding. But anywhere between 12 and 16 hours is good. I personally eat in a 10-hour window. So I start eating at 9:30 a.m. I finish my dinner by 7:30 p.m. And then I fast for 14 hours between dinner and breakfast the next day. So I fast from 7:30 p.m. up until 9:30 a.m. the next day. And I'm also mini fasting between each of my meals, as I don't snack in between my 3 meals. I just have 3 square meals with a 3 to 5 hour gap between each one, eaten within that 10 hours. So the 10:14 is just as effective in a lot of research as the 16:8, but it's not as aggressive. I personally don't want to fast for 16 hours. I'm quite happy to just fast for 14 hours and eat in my 10 hour window. And this works really well for me. Some people need 4 meals a day or 3 main meals and 1 snack, for example, between lunch and dinner. If the gap between their lunch and their dinner is going to be very long, much more than 5 hours, for example, then it would be helpful for that person to have a small meal or some sort of snack between lunch and dinner to bridge that gap so that their blood sugar doesn't drop far too low. And that's fine because we really do want to be mindful of keeping blood sugar levels stable throughout the day. But this ideally shouldn't be by eating 5 or 6 times a day or even more than that. Some people are grazing all day, spending ages eating their breakfast, then having something in between breakfast and lunch, then having something between lunch and dinner, and so on. Take the pressure off your gut and your other digestive organs. It's not just your gut that plays a role in digestion, and allow them all to rest and repair between your meals by not snacking. This prevents how often those holes, the lining is made leaky. Alongside the above, here are some additional habits to help your gut lining heal and repair. So fill half your plate with all the colors of all the vegetables. So eating a diversity of colors and types of plants is the best way to feed your beneficial bacteria in your gut. Having good amounts of friendly bacteria in your gut helps to protect your gut lining and support its integrity. So really up the colorful vegetable, fill half your plate. Think dark green leafy veg, the reds, the oranges, the yellows, purples, the whites, the browns, berries such as blueberries, raspberries, blackberries, strawberries. These are all great. Plus bell peppers, red, yellow and orange peppers, chard, kale, spinach, broccoli, cauliflower, red and green cabbage, beetroot, aubergine, green beans, leeks, red and white onions, garlic, all the herbs and spices and so on. You'll also find lots of great fiber in nuts, seeds, beans and pulses. Not only are they a great source of fiber, but they also include lots of different phyto, meaning plant, chemicals and compounds that exert protective and antioxidant effects on all your body systems. Also, up the good fats. The only type of fat we should avoid are trans fats found in processed vegetable cooking oils such as rapeseed, canola, sunflower and vegetable oils. They're also found in cooking sprays, margarines, any sort of spreadable spreads, deep fried foods, crisps, popcorn and all other processed foods. Those fats we do want to avoid. But the good fats we need to be eating in abundance. So think your oily fish like salmon, mackerel, trout, sardines, your nuts, your seeds. So pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds, flax seeds, hemp seeds, sesame seeds, all the nuts like almonds, cashews, Brazil nuts, walnuts, extra virgin olive oil, olives, avocado, coconut, coconut milk, coconut butter, coconut oil, and regular butter. Lay off sugar and processed foods. So your delicate overworked lining, gut lining, can be weakened by sugar and processed wheat, such as white flour foods like wraps, bagels, breads, pizza, crackers, pastries, cakes, biscuits. Plus, all these foods are unhelpful for your unfriendly bacteria. It will just help them to thrive. It allows the unfriendly bacteria to grow and thrive in your gut. But what we want to do is feed the beneficial bacteria, and that's all the amazing fibers I just talked about. We don't want to help the naughty strains of bacteria to thrive and therefore push out the good bacteria. So I really hope this blog has been helpful for you in some way. I'd love to hear from you if it has, and any questions as well. Thanks for listening.